Today's scripture reading is from Mark. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, if you've been with us these last few weeks, you've actually gotten to hear the beginning of almost every gospel. Three out of the four you've heard. We had the story of Jesus' birth from Luke on Christmas Eve. We heard the first chapter of John's gospel on Christmas Sunday. And despite the pastor getting his authors confused, we did have the arrival of the Magi from Matthew's gospel last week. And now, at last, we get Mark. But Mark doesn't start with Jesus' birth or an eloquent prologue like John. No, Mark is different. In fact, that difference is so striking, it's been turned into a meme. Here, I want you to see this. Aaron, can you pull this up? I'll read this if you can't see it. "Matthew, before I begin, let me give you the genealogy of Jesus so you know this is about a real person. Luke, before I begin, let me tell you the backstory that led up to all this. John, before I begin, let me explain why it's important to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then Mark. Let's get down to business to defeat..." I'll stop it there. If you don't get the Mulan reference from the Disney movie, well, now you have your homework for the afternoon. Go watch it. It's got good music. Sounds better than my singing. But the meme isn't wrong. It's absolutely right. Matthew, Luke, John, they all have these prolonged prologues before Jesus ever reaches the waters of the Jordan River, but not Mark. Mark gets right to it. For one, Mark is always all about the action. I've told you before, of the four Gospels, Mark's is the action movie. Just read a bit of it sometime, and you'll see that Mark's favorite word is immediately. Immediately, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Immediately, Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed Jesus. Immediately, Jesus called James and John. And that's just in the first half of the first chapter. But there's more going on here than simply Mark's love of action movies. Now, there's theological significance to how Mark begins his gospel. You see, in a sense, Mark's starting with Jesus' birth, too. Not his physical birth, the way Matthew and Luke did. No, Mark's starting with a very different kind of birth. See, in Mark's eyes, while he had lived 30 years of his life already, in his baptism, Jesus began a whole new life. Which does sound a little strange to us, I know. Partly because we never really know what to do with Jesus' baptism. It's confusing a lot of people, always has. In our Christian culture that we've had for the last few centuries, for us, baptism has always been about forgiveness, right? I mean, many of you came to Christ during a revival or tent meeting or a passionate worship service where the preacher stood and called on you to repent of your sin and come down and be baptized and have all your sins washed away and to be forgiven. You still remember that day. You still talk about how your life was changed because you accepted Jesus and had your sins forgiven in baptism. Except Jesus didn't sin. Jesus didn't need forgiveness. So why would Jesus get baptized? Well, because, turns out, baptism is about a whole lot more than sin and forgiveness. It's also about death and resurrection. It's also about an old life ending and a whole new life beginning. And Jesus was starting a new life. See, up till this point, Jesus really had lived, for the Son of God, a relatively normal life. We don't think about that too often. The Gospels tell us that he had been presented at the temple as a baby, just like all Jewish boys. They tell us that he'd attended all the festivals and went to synagogue as a kid, just like all other Jewish boys. Other than that, though, the Gospels don't really tell us much. Presumably because there just wasn't much to tell. I mean, the people who watched Jesus grow up, the people in his town, they didn't suspect anything throughout his childhood and adolescence at all. We know this. In Matthew 13, Jesus goes back to his hometown, and he preaches and does miracles, and it's almost funny how the people in that town react. They say this, where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not his sisters here with us? Where then did this man get all this? In other words, you used to be normal, Jesus. What happened? This goes to show, up till now, to all outward appearances, Jesus had lived a normal life. But now that life was over. Now a new life was about to begin for him. A life that would astound all those people in his hometown. A life devoted to the work God was now calling him to do. A work dedicated to teaching and serving and healing others. Dedicated to reconciling people and God. A life that would lead to his physical death. It was a new life. Devoted to God, not in a greater way, but in a new way. And so the old life had to go. Had to be drowned in baptism so that a new life could be birthed on the other side. Because that's what baptism is always about. It's always about death and resurrection. About letting go of an old life and receiving a new life devoted to God in a new way. Even Jesus had to let go of the old and embrace the new. And I dare say, right now, we're called to do the same thing. I mean, we've all left an old life behind at this point, haven't we? I shouldn't have to tell you that. 10 months ago, there was a life we lived that felt normal and comfortable and meaningful. And just like Jesus' first life, it wasn't bad. Right? Most of us were not living a life full of sin, completely devoted to our own selfish desires. We weren't perfect, but it was largely a good, faithful life. It was fine. It was normal. But now it's over. That life is gone. And it's not coming back. The pandemic drove it away. And so as we move into 2021, we have an opportunity that we need to appreciate. An opportunity to not go back. To not go back to the old life, good as it was. To not go back to normal, comfortable as it was. To not go back to what we knew, as meaningful as it was. We have an opportunity to let it go and let it die. And in its place, we have the opportunity for resurrection. To receive and embrace a new life. a life worthy of our baptism and of Jesus' baptism. What might that new life look like, you think? I mean, I'm sure in a lot of ways it'll look a lot like the old one. Not everything's going to change. Sports will still be on TV on a regular basis. We'll still go out with friends regularly, pick the kids up from school. I mean, not everything's going to be different. But what might be? What might be different if we stop looking back to the old and start embracing the new? Well, for one, our priorities can be different. I had one church leader tell me the other day that they've definitely missed UK basketball, absolutely. But, you know, not quite as much as they thought. In fact, they said, you know, they're always going to be a huge fan, but they might even start checking the score the next morning rather than stay up all night, at least for the unimportant games, you know. That's a change of priorities right there. And we all have an opportunity to change the order of what matters to us. Not to do away with the things we love, but to keep everything in its right place. That leads to another possibility. The possibility that this new life will be a life without fear. I mean, I promise, unless you've had your head in the sand for 10 months, you have felt deep, chilling fear for this world, probably every day, about something. I mean, the pandemic all by itself has been terrifying. But we've also had our country's reckoning with issues of race, which has been and still is deeply scary for so many people. And we had our election, which we thought would be old news by now. But as we've already talked about this morning, the photos and video we all saw even just 4 days ago were incredibly scary for all of us who love our country. But you know what? You're still here. Not everyone's been so fortunate, but you have. By definition, if you're listening to me right now, you are still here. And yes, you've suffered loss after loss after loss. You've lost your health, maybe. Maybe you've lost some relationships that haven't survived all this conflict. Maybe you've lost political battles or suffered attacks from people whose views feel dangerous. Yes, you have suffered loss. But you're still here. And I hope that you've realized that God is still here too. Of everything you have lost in 10 months, God's love is not one of them. God's grace is not one of them. God's promise for a bright future is not one of them. You have suffered. Some of you more than you ever thought you could suffer, but God has remained. God has remained with you through it all. And God always has, but maybe now you feel it in a new way. I hope you do. And if that's not an opportunity to live a new life without fear of anything, I don't know what is. To have gone through so much and have God seen you through it gives you the opportunity to have a new life without fear. Which leads me to one more possibility I see for us. To receive a life with new purpose. It follows from the first two, if you think about it. I mean, if you've gotten your priorities right and you're no longer afraid of hardly anything, you are free. Free. Free to do things that really matter. Even if they're hard. Even if they're painful. Even if they're risky. I mean, what haven't you gone through? Right? You've gone through hard. You have lived through hard. You have gone through pain and lived through it. You have taken risks and not always come out well on the other side, but you have gone through it. So what's going to stop you now? What can possibly stop you now? Once restrictions ease and the world reopens, what's going to stop you from doing things that really, truly matter? You've got nothing to fear. And you know what matters now. Don't tell me you don't. You've watched. You've read. You've paid attention. You've had hard conversations with yourself, if nobody else. You've stayed up at night. I have too. And you know what matters. You know that living a faithful life matters more than living a comfortable one. You know that pouring into other people is rewarding in a way that pouring into yourself just isn't, not as an end to itself anyway. You know now that keeping your integrity matters a lot more than getting what you want. And you know now just how much other people need you. They do. You've learned, you've seen the need out there. You know how much people need you to care for them, to listen to them, to advocate for them, and to sacrifice for them. You've seen the need. Above all else, you know what so many people need the most. The very thing we, with the help and power of the Holy Spirit, are trying to create right here already. People need a glimpse of God's kingdom in community. They do. They need to see it. They need you to make it. No matter the sacrifice, no matter the cost, no matter the pain, they need you to make it so they can see it, because it's only in seeing it. It's the only thing in this crazy world that will give them hope and lead them to salvation. Jesus was baptized to shed an old life and to receive a new life. And once he was baptized into that new life, you saw his purpose. You saw his priorities. You saw him live without fear as he spread God's kingdom wherever he went. Through healing, through teaching, through reaching the lost and the lowly, through giving of his life even. So as we prepare to come, come to the waters and remember our own baptism. May we recommit to a life no less than his. Let us pray. Almighty God, guide us to the waters once more. Help us remember our baptism, maybe not its event, but its significance. Help us remember the life that we have lost. Help us embrace a new life. In the name of the one who did it before us, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through the affirmation of our faith, we renewed the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to the church, to the Christ's holy church.
And so wherever you are, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord, in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?
I will. Now I ask you all, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare Christ's work to the nations, his glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us at our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
So I invite you now, wherever you are, if you have that water in front of you, to touch it. You can make the sign of the cross on your forehead. You can make the sign on the cross on your body. You can dunk your head in it if you want. But however you remember, I invite you now to remember your baptism and be thankful. Worship crew, if you want to come forward, I invite you as well.